First Kings, chapter 3 and verse 16 to 28. We'll continue to deal with the same topic. How we do God's will for the situation of the church today. Our responsibilities. The scriptures that we want to respond, confirm, the task that God's giving us through, and then we have to do it. First Kings chapter 3, verse 15 to 28, where King Solomon was in the front of him two prostitutes. They came and he did not deal with the sin of prostitution. Then came there two women that were harlot unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "Oh my lord, I am the woman dwelling in one house, and I was the deliverer of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while then Hardman said, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, lo, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one said, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other said, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Lord, thank you for this day. We bless you, magnify you, we come before in the name of Jesus. Lord, anoint my lips, O God, and direct the message in the way that you want it to flow in our lives, O Lord. I pray you speak to us, direct us, give us assignment even today to do your will and whatever you want us to do. Take the message and make it reach those in other places who need your words. I pray for revival, I pray for cleansing of your church from the sin of immorality, sin of idol worship, peace of heathen and pagan. Cleanse your churches from such things. O Lord, we thank you, praise you, this our prayer and this thing. Amen. When that case came before the king and his palace, and all Israel heard about it, and nothing was done for that sin of a prostitution or being harlot. You know, that's very clear. That is indirect permission to go for immorality. When we as church recognize sin and we don't deal with it, or even we don't recognize sin, when we don't deal with sin, indirectly we are giving a permission for the people around us and people are under our care to continue to do sin. You see here, even if I say that Solomon was blind, that he did not recognize that sin, but that is impossible because he wrote about it. But even so, if we get blind and we don't recognize sin, still we are accountable for our blindness, because God has said this one in His Word. The Bible, one of the things the Bible, repeatedly the scripture had been all over again to those people of a different period of time, calling the attention, appealing for the people of God to repent of their sin and to deal with that sin. These are prostitutes, but even the king is part of this prostitution because he saw it and he did nothing about it. We are called even today as a church. When sin is going on and we are not moving or doing anything about it, we are accountable before God. And if we say that we did not recognize, okay? Even if you say that I did not recognize sin and just my eyes open, still you are accountable to go to the past and do your responsibility before God. In the New Testament, Apostle John spoke about the sin that had been introduced inside the churches. We read here in this story there is prostitution in different kinds. Even today, as we explained before, boyfriend and girlfriend, dating, courting, sex outside marriage, children being born without family, pregnancy before marriage, this also. Besides that, when Solomon allows these cases to go without investigation, without dealing properly with the root of the sin, this prostitute, she may marry another man, and the husband or the father of these children, he may go and he marry another woman, and the immoralities will go to the next generation. See here, we cannot ignore sin. When we ignore sin, or we don't deal with it, you know, we are like, you know, and we are like an ostrich. When she sees the danger, she puts her small head in the ground, but her big body is exposed before the danger. That does not mean that we are protecting ourselves and we turn our faces from sin and we don't deal with it. We still, we will receive the consequences of that sin that the church is not dealing with it. It is not an error. It is not only those who do adultery or those who steal or those who murder will be punished. But those who know about it and they do nothing about it, they will be also included with God's wrath and the consequence of that sin. But God said in His Word, it will not be changed. So there was immorality, followed by unlawful marriages, right? Obviously, when you allow prostitutes to go with her child, one day she will marry another man, the father of the child will marry another woman. Unlawful marriage, when there is a child, that is a sign of union between husband and wife, between man and woman. That child, when he will go out and he will look to the past, he will look to the past. He saw that his mother now with other man, his father with another woman. What's the lesson he will get? He will do the same. He will go and do what he likes, and he, because he's not accountable. His father was not judged for that sin. His mother was not judged for that sin. Was not disciplined. He will do also the same, and he will do also the same, and that will have no end of discourse inside the people of God, inside the society. We spoke about unlawful marriages, morality. We spoke about how after that, when these two sins tolerated, another sin, idol worship and idols, because unlawful marriages, marrying with non-believers, that will bring idols inside God's church. And if we have noticed that, Solomon has celebrated the idols and he saved these idols of his wife and he introduced them even to the temple of God. He built to them their own temple. He sent on them. Apostle John In 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, he says, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21, he says, little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. That is his last verse to the church, instructing them, be away from idols. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, Apostle John, he is calling the church to deal with the false teachers who are promoting idols, who are promoting immorality, who are promoting food and feast sacrifice for idols. In verse 14 he tells them, but I have few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to exchange sacrifice unto idols and to commit fornication. That is, he is calling the attention of the church. He is telling them, they are among the teachers like Balaam. What he is telling them, deal with them. That is very clear. That to that church, there is a teacher, he named the church, and that is the church in Pergamos. He named the church and he tells them, deal with those teachers who are like Balaam. And in verse 20-22, that is to the church in Thyatira, he told them, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to exchange sacrifice unto idols. And I give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And they are false teachers, and they are teaching false things like this woman. God will give a space of time, but finally he will come and judge. That's why he says to the church and then to judge, because God has done his part. How God has done his part? He gave his word. And you see the scripture. I said the scripture. When God is doing his part, we should not expect that God will do more than his part. If he have wrote his word in the Bible, he will not change it in order for us to obey or appeal to us to obey. The revival will come when we start to come back and obey what is written. If you are not going to come back and obey what is written, God will never be thinking to reduce his wrath or the consequence of our sin. Because we have received all the mercies of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything was laid clear before us through his life, through his word, and what God expected from us. He will not expect from us more than that. Not less than we obey him and obey his word. He said, I give her time that she will repent, but she did not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed. And then God commenced adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children. And now we speak about the next generation. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he. The spirit is therein and heart, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. He speaks here about the next generation. When we allow sin to prevail, people like Jezebel, they promote sin, they promote wrong ways of life, and the church is quiet about it. God, he said that, I will let death to come into the next generation. Our own children, our own disciples. When we die, the next generation will have havoc. We will see. We will read in the scriptures what had happened after Solomon died. You know that 10 tribes had been divided, but there are more things was introduced after the death of Solomon. We will come to it. In the book in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8. Speak about the categories that will not enter the kingdom of God. Book of Revelation 21 verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, among those that involve with fornication is the warmongers. Okay? Now, why the reason I brought this scripture? I brought this scripture for the sake of the first category. There are categories here that they will not enter the kingdom of God. The first category is the fearful. Those who are cowards, those who see sin, but they are not willing to face. Because when Apostle John sent the letter to these churches in Thyatira and in Pergamos, he told them in Pergamos there are people like Balaam. They know them or no? When the letter reached, they recognize them or no? They recognize them, sure. When the letter reached to Thyatira church, they recognize Jezebel or no? People like Jezebel, they recognize him. No, if they are fearful, they just send their head. They are not responsible about it. When we don't do our part to clean God's church from sin, actually we are taking part of it. Now, when we know the police are knowing about certain criminals and he's not doing anything about it, what do you say about the police? Are they not accountable for the crime? They are accountable. Same for us today. If we see sin, if I am seeing adultery, we will move to the next generation. If I see immorality, we will move to the next generation. If I see unlawful marriage, it will be coming to be endorsed to the next generation. Either was, and I am not doing anything about it. I am taking, actually I am taking part, active part with faith, because I am not doing myself. Fear God. That's why when all Israel hear about it, say, they fear the king for the wisdom of God upon him. So that they will fear the king. This is not easy king. We cannot bluff him, but we can bluff him. Okay? We can make our life easy. Enjoy the blessing. The king we can manipulate. God we don't fear. But we will get it from the next generation. We are getting it now. Compare your generation now. I compare it when I was small. Compare life. It's so much difficult to compare when we are younger. Why? Because we compromise. Our fathers compromise, we are getting it. If we will compromise today, our children they will also get it. In the book of Acts, chapter 21. The apostle's teaching to the Gentiles was very clear. No fornication and no food sacrificed for idols. We are the Gentiles here. Dating and the courting. Hardly you get boy or girl reaching marriage, believers, children, reaching marriage without being involved in immorality. Let's read what the Bible speaks. In Acts chapter 21, verse 8 and 9, the Bible describes the family of Philip, the evangelist Philip. And the next day, Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, the one who planted the church in Samaria, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now I am very aware that Luke, Dr. Luke, when he wrote it, it's not by mistake he put virgin or have no reason. It's a very valid reason even for us today. He linked spiritual gifts of a prophecy with their purity of sight. Are we accountable for the scripture or no? He has four daughters, he kept them virgins, protect them, and we have to do the same for our children. We are responsible before God and before man to do this ministry. Not only for the girls, I repeat, even for the boys. In the book of Revelation chapter 14 verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God, unto the Lamb. These are men, he described them virgins because they were not intermingling with women. So here the New Testament confirming to us more of what we understand today. Christ came to save us, but the word of God we cannot break and we cannot abuse the grace of God. We have a great responsibility before God to keep our boys and our girls pure till the wedding day. The apostle teaching, and that is confirmation, Apostle John, he wrote these things to us. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 14. We are done and explained much what was going on at the time of Solomon. From what the scripture tell us, now after Solomon, when he died, his son Rehoboam came after him to rule. And you know there was division, 10 tribes were taken away from Israel. And let us read what was at the time of Rehoboam. All the things almost the same, but there is one more thing was added. When we read this thing, you will understand why we need as a church to stand firm and to deal with sin. With this sin of immorality, unlawful marriage, food, sacrifice for idols and idol worship. Verse 14, it says, and there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nation which the Lord cast out before the sin of Israel. Now there are all the abominations here. In addition to that, coming the sin wisdom now of homosexuality. Amen? That's what you see here. At the time of Rehoboam, the homosexuals, they appeared. Now it came. When the prostitution was tolerated, the unlawful marriage was tolerated, idols came, it was tolerated. The fourth one is the homosexual sin, and that's what we have now. That's what we have now. We have all the churches now are very aware that gender of homosexuality, homosexual marriage, and transgender marriage. This is going on, right? This is God coming to Israel. This is great. How it came to Israel? Came alone or before that there was a procedure? They are still. Step one is immorality with all the kinds. Step two, unlawful marriages. Step three, idolatry. Step four is the homosexual and transgenderness. Now, if we or any church want to stand against stage four of the deterioration, like we are, when they say that we are against the transgender message, different marriage, we are against the homosexual different marriage. I agree with them. But you can't clean it unless you get it from the first. That's the difference. You want your son will marry a son, a boy? Yes or no? You want your daughter to marry a girl? Yes or no? Open your mouth. If you don't want it, deal with the immorality, deal with unlawful marriages, deal with unlawful copulation, deal with other worship. Then you can say to them, take the homosexual and go outside. Take the homosexual marriage and go outside. That's the time we can say, if we will cleanse 1, 2, 3, then we go to number 4. But if we are embracing all these things, I tell you, the truth, and I see that will come. One more generation. I say it again. The man will come to marry and the church will advise him find a good man to marry. Maybe after 40 years, that will happen, it takes years. Because at the time of Solomon, there is no sodomite. They were a prostitute. At the time of her son Rehoboam, homosexuals were there. And I pray that one more generation, because the generation of Jezebel, he said, I'll put her children to death. One more generation, and the lady wants to come to marry, the church, I'm not speaking about the word, the church, they will advise her to find a good girl that you can also marry. I'm afraid that homosexual transgender marriage, incest, live-in will be the normal things that you will see after 30 years. Godly marriage, godly man, godly woman, godly children, hardly maybe you will be able to see it. If no one will stand for God's word and it means God's church. That situation that we have read, that deterioration at the time of Rehoboam reached the stage of homosexual. They were after King Rehoboam, certain king, that tried to do revival. King Asa, King Jehoshaphat and King Hezekiah. Their revival were partial. Some of them even they removed eyebrows, some of them also dealt with homosexual, but it was not a radical one. It came back. Always when we don't deal with in a radical way, it will come back. Till the time of King Josiah. King Josiah, he became a king when he was 8 years old. And we can read him in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Second Kings chapter 34, and verse 3 onward. Second Kings chapter 34, verse 3 to verse 6. Say. But in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, at his 17 years old, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And the 12th year of, and the 12th year he began to pray Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves, and the carved images and the mountain images. When he was 20 years old, he started to cleanse Jerusalem and Judah from the idols. He started to seek the Lord when he was 16 years old. 20 years old, he understood that these all things that was introduced into the people's life, the temple need to be removed. Christmas parties, Santa Claus, Christmas trees, Christian gifts, games in the church, tournaments in the church, headache in the church, Halloween in the church, all Saint days in the church, Father Days and Mother Days, Valentine Days, and all these celebrations that the church is engrossed with it as idol worship need to be removed from the church. He starts to clean up. He's a very radical person, and I love such kind of people who want to serve the Lord. And they break down the altars of Baal in his presence. I like that question. He said, you break it in front of me. He didn't say to somebody, you go work it please, can you help? You break it in front of me, then he went home. He broke it in his presence and damaged that were on high above him. He cut down and the groves and the carved images and the mountain images he break in pieces and made dust of them and threw it upon the graves of them that had set sacrifice unto them. And listen to this, and he burned the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. He gets the point, the priests who were doing such things, after he break all these altars, he opened their graves, take their bones and he burned it. What I understand is that what he is doing is that he saying to the people, those who taught you this, they will be end up in hell. That's the meaning of it. He told us they have end up in hell, that's why I'm burning their bones. They taught you idols, they condone your all sin, they will receive the punishment that is due for those who do it. And they're fixed. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with which Matuk round about. He gets all round about these cities and he starts to destroy all the idols from Israel. These 10 tribes that had been separated from Israel, from Judah after the death of King Solomon, it was under the leadership of Jeroboam. Jeroboam introduced in Israel the idol worship, the golden calf idol that he instituted. It remained until the king Josiah, when he came, he removed it. So he was cleansing the church in Jerusalem, Judea, and he extended also to the west part of Israel. Now how the Israelites, they come to know this idol? We can read how Jeroboam introduced the golden calf to them. 13th chapter 12. 13th chapter 12. And there 25 to 23. 25 to 33. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go out to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy judge, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he said, the one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. And the thing, and this things become a sin for the people when to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places and made the priests of the lowest of the people which were not of the son of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calf that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast upon the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. King Josiah, even that was not his territory, but he moved from Jerusalem, he extended to Israel, and he removed the idol worship in a radical way. In verse 33, in book of 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 33, it says, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. So he was having the zeal and the fear of the responsibility. Not only the those were under his care against them, but he extended even far beyond that, because Israel belonged to Judah. He knew that he needed to do his part. Now, let us read in the scripture how God starts that kind of revival through the life of Josiah. You know, the revival that Josiah did, different from other kings' revivals, you know how it is different. Not only it is vast, not only he did with all sin, he dealt with homosexuality also. You know, one thing in what he did, after he cleansed from that day, after that, we cannot see in the scripture that homosexuality had come back to the people of God. That he did it in a very radical way. When he removed the homosexual, he not only removed the homosexual, he removed all the idols. He dealt with from the root. After his death, we cannot see that the homosexual had been come back. But let us see what was his education and how God used him to do that revival. So you can understand now what is in our hand of weapons that God will use for that revival. In the book, the same chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, let's read verse 15. When you start to seek the Lord, He comes in your face. Idols will start to purge Judea and Jerusalem from all the idols. We start to remove them from the house of God, from the people's life, from the land He sent to Israel. Verse 15, and Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servant, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the Lord that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah a servant of the king, saying, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us. Because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now he dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus say the Lord, God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus say the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me, and have banished unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place, and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord's servant, ye say unto him, thus say the Lord God of Israel, concerning the word which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble yourself before God, even thou heedest his word against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and wept before me, I have even healed thee, also say the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. How Josiah was moved to cleanse everything when he heard the word of God. What is the element of revival? Two things. First, he is willing. Second, when you hear the word of God. Do you have Bible or no? Are we winning or no? The thing that moved Josiah to bring that revival, we have it today. Our own willingness. If you are not willing, even if God will come inside you, nothing will happen. And you have the Holy Spirit inside. If you are not willing to obey, God will not move. Do we need more knowledge than what is in the Bible? That is all what was available for King Josiah. Even if we go to the history of the church, revival in the church was only based on the scriptures. People start to seek God, sell the scriptures, they can see what God's feeling is. Even for us today. We need to have willingness, and what we need to do, it is all written in the Bible. God's willingness is Friday, we will continue. this topic we see King Josiah and we'll go further in the history of the church and what we need to do to cleanse God's churches so that we'll be free, ourselves and our next generation from the four things that is ahead of us. Prostitution, fornication, unlawful marriages, idols and free sacrifice to idols, and the danger and the threat of homosexual and transgender men. That's all it's saying. Lord, we thank you for this day. We bless you. We magnify you. We adore you. I pray, O God, that your voice shall fall into an honest and noble heart, a fertile soil, a willing person who is willing to stand and fight the good fight like Josiah, a person who is seeking God and who have a tender heart, a responsive heart when he hears your word. Oh God, he will repent and stand firm and cleanse himself and cleanse the church, his family, Lord, in the manner that we have witnessed in the life of King Josiah. God, I pray for the fruit here in this congregation and in the other places that this message will reach. God, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for your patience with your church. We commit ourselves, O Lord, to cleanse ourselves and our families and the church that you place us in and the church around us as much as we can, O Lord, as much we are allowed to move, to be cleansed from immoralities, unlawful marriages, idol worship, and homosexuality, and homosexual sin, and homosexual marriage. Lord, uphold us with your grace, and give us the strength and power and authority and courage and boldness. Above all, inspire us always with your word to carry on the task that you call us to do. Lord, I pray for those having hard times, difficulties. They have chosen to struggle. Devil, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. They have no authority, have no foothold to come and save their lives in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, and we come against all weapon of darkness, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we trust you, O God, that you will level mountains before us and you will subdue the enemies. As you say, I will build up my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. We trust you, Lord, that you will not allow the enemy to overcome us or prevail against your church and your people. As we determine to serve you and walk wholeheartedly according to your words and your commands. God bless us. Enlarge our territory, the Lord, and let your hand with us and keep us, O God, from harm so that we must be saved. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.